here with the dragons, are we back up in here? Spit fire from the back of your ears, coming straight from the belly of the beast that's in the back of your ear, whispering shit that's got you clapping your rear. This panic and fear is damaging. Radical stages of behavior that's got you on a scat eating, looking for the big bite. We've got a double episode coming at you right now. First time ever on the podcast that we're covering two episodes of NXT UK consecutively in one episode of the show. It was kind of like a mini pay-per-view for us, wasn't it, Lee?
For the most part, yeah.
And it was seven matches, about a little less than 2 hours of wrestling all straight through. And, you know, because of the nature of these shows being taped, you know, there wasn't like any, you know, like duplicate, like nobody wrestled twice while we were watching, so it really did kind of have like a big one big show feel to it.
Yeah,
I recommend, highly recommend, you know, if you ever want to just watch two episodes in a row. It's kind of fun. It makes everything kind of have like a bigger, more important feel, truthfully. A lot of stuff going on in wrestling. We're barreling towards War Games and Survivor Series, and the intensity level is picking up. It's brand warfare, and I'm actually kind of into it.
NXT being involved is throwing a nice little curveball into everything.
It is a game changer.
Yeah, it was weird seeing AJ Styles in Full Sail.
Because we had never seen that before.
Yeah, and so it was weird to see all of them in there. But, yeah, it's interesting because you got, like you said, War Games build going on and Survivor Series build going on. So it's crazy.
It is. And then over here in the corner is NXT UK.
Doing the NXT UK stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, with NXT truly being, like, elevated now to where it's basically like the legit third brand, it's do you feel that it's still like NXT, like it's still like developmental, or do you feel like it's either transitioning or has transitioned or is going to transition into being like just the third brand? Because
I think it's basically the third brand,
right?
So I mean, this, since they've gotten on main TV over here, it's they've definitely been more at the center stage, especially with Balor being sent back down. So it feels more like a third brand now, especially with the 2 hour episodes and all that, and then being on TV.
So I'm kind of hopeful that in some ways it'll still kind of stay NXT, if that makes sense. Like, you know, because we have the takeovers are always such a special thing, and it is the place where the next big stars are built and where you first see them, and it's kind of been this fun thing in our back pockets for so long now, and I'm so happy for everyone in NXT getting the big national and really global exposure that they, you know, that they deserve for being so awesome. But at the same time, I'm just hopeful that it doesn't end up becoming like watered down eventually and feeling just like every other show, because it still feels so different. I think being in Full Sail helps with that. It's definitely a work rate oriented show. You know, the best match quality in the world is in NXT. Fight me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm not going to.
Right. Right.
I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. So I hope that it stays that way. But I know we were talking about it earlier. I hope Rhea Ripley wins the Royal Rumble this year.
It'd be a nice change, nice little surprise, and she's convincing enough that it makes sense.
It totally would, and you know, to have an NXT person win it would be really cool. At least to have an NXT person win one of them would be really cool. And last year's Royal Rumble, they decided to forego bringing any legends or whatever back, and it was all, It was NXT people who were the surprise entrance in the Rumble, and I thought that was a really awesome, you know, foretelling of what was to come. It's like, here's, you know, the previous year was kind of a lot of throwbacks to the past, and this year was a lot about the future. So I hope that that trend continues, and I'd like to see an NXT person win that. But that's in the future. From this time, we're talking about NXT UK right now, which, how do we even get? Oh, we got on that because So now that NXT is sort of like in the position of being this third mainstream brand, it kind of leaves NXT UK sort of as the only kind of
more underground.
Yeah, underground is kind of a good way to describe it. Like it's over by itself now in the WWE umbrella. I guess you could count 205 Live, but that's even filmed with. They filmed that with SmackDown still, don't they?
Actually, I think they're going back to Full Sail with that.
Oh, yeah, I did. I remember reading about that now earlier. Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
To have two shows in Full Sail. So maybe that'll be kind of the way that they keep it, like, maybe it'll be kind of a tiered thing where, like, Raw and SmackDown are, like, the top tier, and then NXT and 205 are, like, you know, one rung below the ladder in perceived prestige, anyway. You know, certainly not the way we consider NXT, but, you know, the way that it's marketed, essentially, it'll maybe be that way. And then you'll still have NXT UK over here just doing NXT UK things and being taped all at once and, you know, in one location and being awesome. So we have, we got two episodes of NXT UK to discuss. So let's just go for it. I made much more extensive notes than I usually do this time just because we did have two full shows of stuff to talk about, so I didn't want to forget anything. But we started off with a pretty cool tag match. You know, this is something I never thought we'd see. But we had Rhea Ripley teaming up with Piper Niven to go against Ginny and Jazzy. And this is a fun match. Rhea and Piper certainly dominated the beginning, and Ginny just took a beating.
Yes, she got her ass kicked. And when she started getting offense, it didn't even seem like she'd be able to, because everybody in the match is a lot bigger and more physically imposing.
Yeah, she is the odd person out in this group.
Yeah, so when she started getting a lot more offense and started kicking the hell out of Piper and Rhea, it was shocking.
Truthfully, yeah. And she was in the beginning of the match, it was her by herself. She was in there with Rhea, and she was in there with Piper, and she did fight back at some point. And Jazzy finally got in. I was kind of wondering why Jazzy didn't rescue Ginny while she was on the outside of the ring, surrounded by Rhea and Piper. Seems like kind of an opportune time for Jazzy to get involved, but I guess
yeah,
she
teammate.
Yeah, I think she kind of has to be motivated, it's like she has to be told what to do. Like, no, okay, yeah, now come get me. Okay, now tag me. Okay, but eventually Jazzy and Ginny did take over. Rhea Ripley took the heat in the match, which is really weird to see. It's just bizarre to see Rhea Ripley, you know, being cut off from a corner and you know, being worked over by anybody. I think it's just something we haven't really ever seen before. that Ginny hit like a forearm or something on Rhea that was impressive, and then Rhea was down and then just kicked the hell out of Ginny one good time in the head, and it was I think I yelled fuck when it happened. It was just one of those like moves that was just so impactful and
out of nowhere too, really.
Yeah. They both Ginny and Rhea both got hot tags to Piper and Jazzy. Piper cleaned house, and then the big spot in the match was, to me anyway, the heels are on the outside, and Rhea and Piper are looking towards the hard cam, and it was just kind of that moment where they're standing there, and you could sort of feel it coming. And we were sitting here like, no, no, no. And then Rhea just shrugged, hit the ropes, and did a somersault plancha.
Almost took her head off.
She almost wailed her head on the ring apron, the hardest part of the ring, for those of you who weren't aware. But she, I mean, it was like, wow, Rhea just did a dive. Holy shit. And then Piper hit the Michinoku driver on Jazzy to pick up the three count and get the win. So Rhea and Piper over Ginny and Jazzy via pinfall. So we've seen Jazzy eat a couple pins lately. You think that's think that's okay. Is was it? Did this happen too soon? Was it just circumstantial? Like, felt like Jazzy maybe should have been a little bit more protected.
For sure. I mean, unless it's going towards something, which, I mean, she already comes across as a heel, so, I mean, it's not like a heel turn can happen, but...
I mean, a face turn could happen. Like, if Jazzy starts to feel like maybe...
people are holding her back.
Yeah, if Ginny's holding her back or being associated with Ginny is causing her to not realize her full potential.
Or lose focus or something like that.
Yeah, or that maybe Ginny's just a bad leader or something. I mean, this could turn into, you know, you could see like a Ginny Jazzy split at some point, maybe see that become a feud. I mean, you know, I think that I think Jazzy has a lot to bring to the table, and like a continued feud that with her and Piper Niven would be cool to see, and you know, a nice power battle. Rhea gave the ring to Piper at the end of this, and just
let her have her moment.
Yeah, let her stand tall. Rhea Ripley has been a main feature on NXT lately, and is now, of course, the captain of one of the first women's teams ever in the first ever women's War Games match. So that's been really cool to see. It's so bizarre seeing Rhea as a face, and yet it just makes sense because she's so over. It's like everything she does gets cheered anyway. Might as well just run with it. And I like that Rhea is still disgusted by the entirety of humanity. Still hates everyone. She's just beating up villains now. It's great. Yeah. It's great stuff.
It didn't really change her character much.
Not at all. Not at all. She's still good old Rhea Ripley, just killing people. Second match, the debuting A-Kid versus Cassius Ohno, the British wrestling specialist. So A-Kid is the first ever Spanish-born WWE superstar, and Nigel McGuinness filled us in on a little tidbit of information. He got his name because at his first match, he didn't even have a name, and so the crowd started chanting something in Spanish that translated to the Anonymous Kid.
Yep.
So how about that? Like, that's how you get your name, then it just sticks.
I mean, if it works, it works.
It kind of does, yeah, right?
He made it to NXT UK, so obviously he's doing something right.
Yeah, clearly. So this was a stark contrast to our first match. Our first match was a hard hitting, pretty up tempo match. It was fast. It was kind of over fast too. Like, I felt like it was like under 10 minutes. And this one started out slower. We had some grappling to start, a few holds and some reversals, a couple little nice little, you know, maneuvers and whatnot. Great heel stuff when Cassius Ohno threw his shooter sleeve. So the ref was distracted by it and, you know, picked it up to throw it out of the ring. And at that moment, he hit A-Kid with a shot to the throat. Yeah, good heel work there. I don't know what the name of this was, but that move that we both were, like, that we both kind of raised our eyebrows at, where Ohno kind of, like, just twisted him around and then planted him in the ground and hit a senton. I don't know what it was, but it was he pretzeled him for sure. And there was it broke down to the outside, and we had a really nice strike exchange with some chops and forearms, some nice loud shots that echoed off the walls of the building, and somehow A-Kid ended up being able to beat the 10 count, and Cassius Ohno didn't, so Cassius Ohno ended up like kind of looking silly. I mean, like, and like in a good way, where like he just kind of like got caught and was defeated by the 10 count. And, you know, normally a count-out finish is kind of disappointing, but it actually, like, really worked here, and the crowd responded to it well.
It's mainly the size difference. I mean, everybody would... just looking at Ohno and A-Kid, you would assume that Ohno would just mop the floor with him.
Right.
So having him, you know, manage to get the count-out victory definitely didn't hurt him. It doesn't make him look weak.
No, he just kind of, like, got caught out. Like, they were fighting, and the refs just counting. And, I think, didn't Ohno try to throw him in the ring, and he did, like, a 180 and kicked him? And,
yeah, like, kind of like a 619-esque kick.
Yeah, like, but on the mat, yeah. And then kicked Ohno, and then Ohno stumbled back, and then the 10 count happened, and that was that. So Ohno got some heat on him after the match, So A Kid wins by count out. And Cassius Ohno got some heat after the match. And then Tyler Bate makes the big save. Boy. The big strong boy makes the big strong save. And we're building towards that match now. Tyler Bate and Cassius Ohno. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But so this is a feud that I guess we'll talk about it now a little bit. I'm excited about this feud. I kind of thought at one point that maybe we were going to get like Cassius Ohno and Pete Dunne or something at one point, because I felt like the, you know, Cassius Ohno coming in and calling himself the best British wrestler ever as an American would kind of lend itself well to an automatic feud with British Strong Style.
And yeah, they're like the,
they kind of represent, like, they're kind of, feel like they represent, like, all of England in a way.
Yeah, especially NXT UK.
Yeah, that's the perception over here anyway, in a lot of ways, but even though it's not Tyler Bate, it is Tyler Bate, it's not Pete Dunne. That's going to be good. I hope that kind of goes some distance. We go backstage and Killer Kelly is finally back on NXT UK TV. She's been gone forever. They stated on the show that she hadn't been medically cleared, and I don't know if that was just like, you know, for the sake of the show or something. I hadn't heard that she had any kind of injury, but regardless, she's back, and she said that she's going to pick a fight with someone. And Isla Dawn walked into the women's locker room at that point, and Killer Kelly followed her. And then we never saw anything that happened after that. But apparently Killer Kelly was picking a fight with Isla Dawn, and we'll get back to that later.
Yep.
Roy Johnson versus Joseph Connors. So Joseph Connors has been making a habit lately of ruining people's debuts.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the anti-Cassius Ohno?
Pretty much. And, yeah, exactly. Cassius Ohno is putting people over in their debuts, and Joseph Connors is ruining people's debuts. So, decent little match here. Joseph Connors yelled out at one point in the direction of the commentators and asked if he was doing good. And Nigel yells back, "You're doing perfectly well, Joseph." It was a funny moment. And Joseph Connors hit the Don't Look Down and got the pin. So another debut spoiled. He spoiled Oliver Carter's debut. And Joseph Connors was a guy who couldn't win a match for a while. And now he's on a roll. He's won like his last 3 or 4 matches on NXT UK. So I guess we've got big plans for Joseph Connors possibly in the works. Kaylee Ray. This is the first time in the Brentwood tapings that we've seen Kaylee Ray. So kind of relieved, actually. She came out and cut a promo talking about how we haven't seen Toni Storm in some time, which we haven't.
Even Toni Storm is asking where Toni Storm is.
Right, exactly. Toni Storm has no idea where she is. Yeah. So I know that she has signed with Suplex Apparel, but but we don't know where she is. We don't know where she's been.
Not wrestling?
No. We have not seen Toni Storm on NXT UK since TakeOver Cardiff, when she lost the NXT UK Women's Championship to Kaylee Ray. Kaylee Ray reminded us about this and told us that Toni Storm doesn't have any friends, and that the thing that mattered the most to her, her shiny, the NXT UK Women's title, she doesn't even have that anymore. Kaylee Ray has it. And then she calls out Zaya Brookside, because recently Zaya Brookside had made it clear that she's coming after Kaylee Ray and the NXT UK women's title, because Kaylee Ray cost her the opportunity in the first place at that women's battle royal at Download. So it looks like that's where we're headed. I'm happy about this. Zaya Brookside is a natural, strong baby face and seems like a good next contender.
Oh, yeah, for sure, especially after beating Toni Storm. I mean, there's not many names that really come up to challenge for the title.
Nobody who's like been really kind of like primed for that spot anyway. Because yeah, like, you could definitely, you'd believe it if it was Rhea Ripley, or you'd believe it if it was Piper Niven, but they haven't really been like put in that position because they've been so tangled up in their own, like, little feud with Ginny and Jazzy and stuff. So, and, you know, some of the other competitors on the show haven't really been booked strong enough recently to be, like, a legitimate championship threat, except for Xia. She's been kind of had some momentum lately. So, I like this matchup. I think that this will be good. I think this could be a really good, strong feud, and Xia definitely a great choice as a next opponent for Kaylee Ray. Had a Gallus promo that was done kind of outside the venue or something. And they're calling out Imperium. Joe Coffey says that he's coming after Walter so that Gallus can get all the gold. And I love the sounds of that.
Sounds like a fun match.
And we're going to get more on some of the stuff. This is the only downside to like watching these episodes consecutively is that like even though people didn't wrestle twice like on consecutive episodes, there are segments that lead into other things, and it's like, oh, we gotta save that. Main event of the first show: Bomber Dave Mastiff versus Jordan Devlin. This was awesome.
Yeah, that's a fun match. Very hard hitting. Very entertaining.
I love big guy, little guy stuff. It's just
especially when little guy's loudmouthed as Devlin is.
Oh yeah, it's really because it is interesting when you've got like when it's little guy babyface versus big guy heel. It's a totally different scenario than when you've got big guy babyface and little guy heel. Because a little guy heel kind of has to be a loudmouth in that situation. Like, and this was a really good, really fun match. I remember we said that we were kind of surprised that Jordan Devlin didn't jump Mastiff in the aisleway, but then when introduction, hit him before the bell during introductions, and this was really good. Devlin tried to take over, but Mastiff was having none of it. Devlin got on his knees and was like, wait. It was funny stuff. Devlin's such a good mouthpiece and such a good promo and such a good antagonist. I love Devlin's stuff. So Mastiff threw him around for a little bit, and it's just really fun to watch him show off his strength and to watch Devlin just fly around the ring and bump like crazy. But Devlin used the ropes eventually for leverage and kind of did the thing that Randy Savage used to always do, where he'd fall to the ground while the opponent's arm was draped over the top rope, and did that and started working over Mastiff's arm, which is a good strategy.
That wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, take the guy's you know, the power away. He can't throw you around if he doesn't have his arms working. And Mastiff would sell that arm the rest of the match. You'd see him like punching it, trying to get some feeling back into it and whatnot. Devlin stood on his face.
He did.
You ever had someone stand on your face, Lee?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Yeah, I'm imagining it's not comfortable.
No,
so.
Especially smelly wrestling shoes on your face.
Right, like what's like that's just the absolute worst. So good heel stuff there. We get into a forearm exchange and it was heated. Mastiff caught him with a big overhead belly to belly suplex, just launched him. The senton got two. Devlin just kept attempting that Devlin side move, and it's like, you know, there's no way he's going to be able to yank Mastiff off the ground into a back suplex. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
but
no, it's physics.
Physics, yeah, exactly. Gravity and, you know, mass and whatnot. It's just, you know, but I love the way they kept doing this, and the payoff to it was remarkable. Mastiff launched Devlin over the top rope. He did the big, like, Triple H bump to the outside. Hit a rolling senton on the floor. They fought back in the ring. Devlin hit a slingshot cutter and then his moonsault, which got two. Went up for the second moonsault, and Mastiff got his knees up. Devlin sold all the way across the ring into the corner for Mastiff to hit the cannonball. And then he sold to the outside. So here's a big setup for the finish. So Mastiff had him up on the top rope as if he was going to try to hit Devlin with a top rope rolling senton, which probably would have killed him. Lee's nodding. By the way, he's nodding in approval. Yeah, that Devlin definitely would have been dead after that.
He would have been deceased.
He would have no longer been with us. But Devlin managed to escape this, and while Mastiff was still on the ropes, this is brilliant, he hooked him for that Devlin side big back suplex. So he didn't have to worry about lifting Mastiff because he was already in the air, and then he had the additional height to deliver the move from with Devlin being up on the top rope. So it was like even more impactful than a normal back suplex. It's more like a back drop, like a back suplex driver. But he got him. Jordan Devlin picked up the 3 count and defeated Dave Mastiff. Were you surprised by that result?
Very much so. You would think, just on the dynamics of the match, that Mastiff would probably have murdered him.
Right.
And even with, like, working over his arm, you think Mastiff would end up picking up the victory. But Devlin, I mean, that's going to help. Obviously, it's a big win for him.
It's a huge win, right?
Especially
yeah.
for somebody as loudmouthed as him.
To back it up, yeah.
He's definitely not going to let anybody forget that he beat him like that. It's impressive.
It is, and you know, Devlin's had a lot of big matches in NXT UK, and he's won a lot of them, but he's also lost a few. Mastiff has been very protected, and he only has one loss in NXT UK up until now, and it was that last man standing with Joe Coffey at TakeOver. So now this is only hit the...
Even then, that was still not like a clear-cut decisive one. It was just like barely out of nowhere.
I mean, Coffey just managed to just barely be able to stand up to beat that 10 count. Yeah. This was the first time. This is Mastiff's first pinfall loss in NXT UK. So that's big. That definitely has to keep Jordan Devlin on the map. And I don't think... Doesn't hurt Mastiff at all.
No, not at all.
So good strong booking here. So that was the main event from the first show. But
big strong booking.
Big strong booking. Big strong booking, yes.
Hashtag big strong booking.
Hashtag big strong booking.
Two people will hashtag that, and that's okay.
I hope so. I do. I hope anybody does. I'll hashtag it.
Okay, that works.
Good. If you and I hashtag it, then that
will cover it.
That will cover the two people.
Okay. Sounds good.
We did get afterwards, we did get a quick backstage segment with Alexander Wolf continuing to try and convince Ilya Dragunov to join Imperium. And that was how we closed the first show. And then we will roll, directly into this week's episode of NXT UK. And we open up with Joe Coffey of Gallus in his first match since TakeOver. That was so long ago now.
That was like 2 months.
I mean, what? It was August 31st, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like 2 months. So, yeah. Over 2 months in TV time. Joe Coffey versus Tyson T-Bone. So, Tyson T-Bone had probably about a 3% chance in this match. He's really good, but he's been definitely used primarily as enhancement talent on NXT UK. But you do need people like that.
Oh, yeah, you gotta use people like that to build other people up.
Exactly. And then hopefully you eventually kind of are able to find other people to build those people up with. But this match was lockups and punches. This was just so many punches. There were just punches everywhere. There were punches to the midsection. There were punches to the head. There were punches to the back. They just
punched you.
I think he did. Yeah. At some point, Lee just socked me because that was what was happening.
Yeah, I felt the need to sock Brent in the face.
It's fine.
Because Joe Coffey.
I can handle it. Hey, you know what? I don't blame you. Joe Coffey's awesome. And after a nice back and forth, just all out slugfest, and I mean, there were some other moves, but truthfully, it was like 90% just strikes, which was cool. I mean,
it's a nice little brawl.
It's something different, you know. That's the great thing about NXT UK is that there is a little bit of something for everybody's taste, and I love that. Joe Coffey did pick up the win with the big discus lariat, with which Tyson T-Bone sold like a champ. So Joe Coffey back in the win column again. I shouldn't even say back in the win column. He's been winning a lot. So good to see him back on NXT UK. Alicia Taylor is backstage with Zaya Brookside, and Zaya says she is ready to show Kaylee Ray what she's made of. So we are definitely headed towards that as a match and potential feud. After that, we got a little teaser for somebody who is going to be making their debut soon, Ridge Holland. So this was kind of a unique, kind of a strange, like, vignette.
Yeah, I'm not even sure who it really is, except for his name. They didn't really show much. He talked a little bit, but not a lot.
No, very, very few words. We only saw really like a silhouette. I don't know what he was holding. Did it give you? It gave you kind of a cowboy type vibe, didn't it? Sort of.
A little bit.
Which is strange. Like, I don't do. Like, do those types of people exist in the UK? Because I'm not sure that, I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see.
I'm sure that everyone who listens in the UK, which is like the overwhelming majority of the listening audience of this podcast, which makes sense. I'm sure there are people who know exactly who this is and who can probably school me all about who it is and why I should know who they are and why I should be excited about it. So,
if not, we will find out because we watch this every week.
Exactly. But if anybody is familiar with Ridge Holland, or if they went under a different name on the indies, let me know. Let me know who it is, because I don't know who it is, because I do not have the same access to British independent wrestling as people who live in England do, or in other parts of the UK. But always exciting to get more new talent on the show. It'll be good. And then we got a third pre-tape segment in a row, which is kind of rare, but cool, is Piper Niven. So apparently this is like a multi-part little thing that they've filmed with her, but she was talking about her upbringing a little bit and talking about how she discovered wrestling. She's just flipping through the channels home from school sick, and saw Undertaker beating the piss out of somebody, and
sounds
just
about right.
Exactly. He's made a career out of that, and she just fell in love with it, and she wants to be a role model and try to help other kids who maybe don't have the kind of self-confidence that maybe they should. And I thought that was pretty cool, and it's a pretty heartwarming little thing here with Piper Niven. I'm wondering if maybe this is going to be the beginning of like some kind of big monster push for her. Because she sort of debuted with a lot of with a good bit of fanfare, and then it kind of like stalled out a little bit. I guess maybe just because the top of the card was so crowded, but
and especially with Tony being MIA and with Rhea kind of doing her thing on NXT, that might have even tied into the last episode where she kind of gave her a moment, like, this is your division now for now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that could be. Yeah. Oh man, I didn't even think
bombshells.
I know, I didn't even think about that, but you know what? Yeah, like,
boom.
Yeah, I wonder if that was her basically saying like, "Hey,
for now." I'm assuming Rhea will probably go back.
Maybe
after a while, unless she gets called up to Raw or SmackDown.
Oh, well, you know that call up's gonna happen eventually. If she doesn't win the Royal Rumble and do it that way, then she's gonna get called up. I mean, she is. Rhea Ripley is a future legend. I've been saying it forever, and I'm gonna continue to say it for years until she is just a legend. So, I wonder if. I mean, she might end up even being the first person to hold the NXT and NXT UK Women's Championships, because I could totally see her taking that from Shayna.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what they're building up for.
It seems like it. So, we're told we're going to get more from Piper Niven next week. So, we will have that to look forward to. Some more of these Piper Niven pre-tapes to maybe give us an idea of what direction she's going in. Killer Kelly, back in the ring on NXT UK. I was really excited about this. And her opponent was Isla Dawn. So, I love both of them. And Isla Dawn had been kind of on a bit of a losing streak lately, and she did need a win, but I felt like Killer Kelly needed it more. Because to the best of my memory, Killer Kelly has still not actually won a match on NXT UK. And I'm upset by that, because Killer Kelly's awesome. But this is a good match. Kelly came out firing and went for a big kick right away, but Isla Dawn had it scouted and avoided it and hit a few nice arm drags and a wristlock suplex. They got tangled up in the ropes, and it was a clean break, and then Killer Kelly pump-kicked the hell out of Isla Dawn. Kelly's a great striker.
She really is.
It's in the name.
Popping. Yeah, I mean...
She's got the mouth guard. She's got like such a good vicious look.
Yeah, even when she smiles, she's creepy, and it's just it sells the character. She's
intimidating. It's yes. Awesome. And then she also like the few times we've gotten to see her talk, even like on the previous episode, like she talks like she's very like soft spoken and very like clear speech and like seems very calm and collected. And then in the ring, she just. Throws, she's vicious, and she just throws hands, and throws knees, and throws feet, and it's just, she's just a tough opponent. She hit some good body shots, some kicks, a knee lift, clothesline, got a two count, got Isla Dawn in a cravat, and then Isla hit a nasty takedown of her own. Remember that one where Killer Kelly like landed on her head, where like nobody messed up the move, but like it was just a nasty looking takedown, almost like a suplex of some sort. And then Isla Dawn took back over, hit a good knee lift of her own, back suplex, got two, and they worked back to the middle of the ring. Killer Kelly went for her finish. I don't even know if I've seen her do it. But Isla reversed out of it and hit a beautiful combination half Nelson German suplex. And that got the three.
Yeah, it was, I think, was it me that mentioned during it? Because Killer Kelly was returning. I thought something about it'd be a stunning upset if she lost. And then she did.
Did, yeah. That's basically exactly what you said. I think that when it happened, you were... very surprised, and so was I. I kind of, you know, I felt like Killer Kelly really kind of needed this win, and I mean, not that Isla Dawn didn't need it, because she definitely has needed a win to get her kind of back into contention. She was one of Rhea Ripley's first opponents for the NXT UK Women's Championship. In fact, that was on regular NXT UK TV. That wasn't on TakeOver. The first TakeOver, it was, that's when Rhea dropped it to Tony. But you know, she was in that picture, and then she had kind of fallen off a little bit. So it's good to see her get back in the win column. It just sucks that it came at the expense of Killer Kelly in her, big comeback to NXT UK. But hopefully, this is just the beginning for Killer Kelly, and they will... get her into the win column and push her and utilize her correctly, because she's very good and she's got a great look. She definitely stands out from everyone else on the roster, and she can go in the ring. So let's do some Killer Kelly stuff. Cashisono in a sit down pre-tape talking about British Strong Style and talking about the history of Strong Style and how Antonio Inoki kind of coined the term back in the way back in like the 70s or 80s, and mentions
they stole it and used it as their own.
Pretty much implied that these young British wrestlers are just kind of now just doing whatever they think is cool and not really honoring the tradition, because Cashisono thinks he knows everything, and he mentions that Pete Dunne's kind of gone, because he's been on NXT doing NXT things, and Trent Seven's kind of, you know, a little bit worse for wear after his feud with Noam Dar has wrapped up, and here's Tyler Bate, who is all that's left for right now, and Cashisono is going to eliminate British Strong Style for good, something that, as he mentions, even Imperium couldn't do. So next week on NXT UK, we've got Xia Brookside versus Kaylee Ray, Tyler Bate versus Cassius Ono, and we find out that we're going to get another match between Ligero and Travis Banks. Their last
one ended
double pin.
Yeah. The weird double pin.
It was the backslide at the same time double pin. It was really cool looking. It was just weird. A weird finish, but so you got a really good episode to look forward to next week.
Yeah. Plenty of good matches.
Yeah. Now, I didn't catch them saying that it was for the championship, but I don't believe that Xia Brookside and Kaylee Ray is an NXT UK Women's Championship match.
I think it's just a singles match, which will probably build to a potential Women's Championship match down the road, probably at whenever they decide to announce the next TakeOver.
Right.
That's what I assume would probably be like January.
That's when Blackpool was last year, so that would be it'd be a great time for it.
Yep.
Kaylee Ray did beat Toni Storm. You know, she won the Battle Royal at Download. She beat Toni Storm for the championship at TakeOver. She beat Tegan Nox in a non-title match. So if Xia did win a non-title bout against Kaylee Ray, I don't think it hurts Kaylee Ray, but it definitely gets Xia Brookside into, like, instantaneous number one contender.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Main event time. This is a match that happened, they did this match on the show, like, after TakeOver, I believe is what it was. But that one was for the tag team titles, because it was right after South Wales Subculture won the titles. But in another match between these two teams, which you never get sick of this, nope. Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews, South Wales Subculture versus James Drake and Zach Gibson, grizzled young veterans. This was awesome.
Yeah, it was a very tremendous match. Not a clean finish, but I'm assuming that's going to potentially build to another rematch, which I don't think anybody will complain about.
Yeah, well, in a very interesting non-clean finish. Yeah. So, just to surmise, I mean, the other interesting plot thread going on here is that kind of in the first... the first, like, third of this match, Webster and Andrews maintained control throughout, like, the majority of it. It seemed like grizzled young veterans were maybe having some, not, like, communication issues, but it seemed like there was, it was questionable about who was really kind of leading the team or calling the shots, and even the announcers had kind of played into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, like, are we going to kind of slowly get this split with these two, maybe?
I don't know.
I don't want to see it yet. I want them to be a team still for a while, because I think they have a lot to offer the tag division. But at the same time, I've definitely always seen Zach Gibson as, like, a main event guy.
He definitely has the mouth for it and the talent, so yeah. I can see it. But like you said, I think there's still a lot more they can do with the team before doing so.
For sure.
But it would definitely be different.
I'm assuming James Drake would take the face role in that situation, but...
Oh, he kind of has to.
Kind of have to, because Gibson's got such a mouth on him.
Yeah, no, the second he opens it, people are going to start booing, so...
Exactly, and taking the shoes off.
Yep.
Funny point, at the beginning of the match, near the beginning of the match, the crowd was doing a singing chant, and I don't know exactly what they were singing, because I can't always tell, but...
Yeah, it wasn't very clear.
But they did end it with, like, ass face, and Flash Morgan Webster's on the outside of the ring, and he clapped along with the ass face part. It was really funny. I love the way the NXT UK talent will...
Play to the crowd.
They play to the crowd so much, and they will respond to the crowd and be kind of like involved with the crowd more so than I think on any other brand, and it's really great. Early on, Grizzled Young Veterans attempted like a classic blind tag spot, and that didn't even work. So like Southwell Subculture was holding the ring down for a while. And Tom Phillips attempted to take his shoe off and
got scolded
by Nigel. And then Nigel tried to start his own thing. If you love Gibson, stand up.
And he's the only one allegedly standing up.
I've learned to really love this duo.
Like, yeah, Tom Tom Phillips has always been an underrated announcer, and obviously Nigel knows what he's talking about. He's not like a heel or a face announcer. He's just right in that middle, and he has his favorites, and it's great. But he's so knowledgeable because obviously he's been wrestling forever.
Yeah, he's great to have in commentary because he can just elaborate on things like not too many other people can. It's one of those good things about having the experience, you know, in the ring. I think that translates well to that, like that analyst role. Grizzled Young Veterans did finally take over, of course, and there was lots of excellent teamwork, lots of good double team moves. And then Gallus came out, and
they were just watching.
Yeah, he was standing by the big screen at the entranceway, which is only like 10 feet from the ring anyway. But I do love this little intimate venue here in Brentwood.
It's very tiny.
It is.
It's fun.
They're standing watching and kind of appeared to be ridiculing basically everybody. Andrews finally got the hot tag, and then we had a bunch more cool offense because South Wales subculture is just full of awesome offense. Double team moves, high flying antics. How about that point where Mark Andrews did a roll up on James Drake? Drake kicked out. Andrews flipped out of the ring, landed on top of Gibson, and then gave him a hurricanrana.
It was insane. Like, I can't even believe that they can do half the stuff they can do.
I know. I mean, I'm like the same size as those guys, and I get exhausted watching them.
I'm slightly bigger, and I get exhausted just getting out of bed. And this guy's flipping around, defying gravity.
Yeah.
I mean,
exhausted getting out of bed.
Yeah.
We are in the United States of America.
Yep. America.
Yep. Obesity. Not you, just in general. This is mobility scooter nation here. I was going to
agree with you, but that's
all right. You're not obese. You're just bigger. Just a little bit bigger. You're not even like that big. You're just a little big.
Now you're just kissing ass. So what else happened in this match, Brent?
Oh, whatever, I'm just
joke off of you in the face.
Don't do it again. This is it's mobility scooter nation. I mean, like, you know, you can't. Whatever. Anyway,
America.
Bunch of cool shit. I literally wrote that down. Mark Andrews hit that beautiful reverse Rana that I just. It pops me every time. I just that move in particular, or you know, any time that move happens, like when Io Shirai and Candice LeRae did it, I think I jumped off the couch screaming because it's just such a cool, impressive move and takes so much like coordination and work to make it like happen and make it look good. So we get to a point where all four men are down, and then Imperium comes out. Well, first just two of them. First, Aichner and Bartel come out. And there's a stare down in the short aisleway. And then Gallus just hits the ring. And then Imperium hit the ring right after him. And what Gallus dumped Grizzled Young Veterans. Yep. And
Imperium dumped the other guys.
Imperium Andrews dumped Webster and Andrews. Yep. And then there's a stare down.
And then Wolf comes out.
Yeah, Wolf came out.
And then Joe Coffey.
And it was funny, too, because Wolf came out from the back, but then Coffey came out from the crowd.
Yeah.
Really cool. And then the music hit, and then Walter.
Everybody's favorite grumpy person.
Jolly Wally hits the ring. And so it looks like it's going to be 4-on-3. And then Ilya Dragunov's music hits. And he comes sauntering out. And they play it off like it's going to be 5-on-3. Like, it looks like Dragunov is going to stand next to Imperium, which he does for briefly. For just a second, he stood next to them. But then he switched sides, just walked to the other side of the ring, put his fist up, and stood next to Gallus. And we go... we go off the air with this massive fight. 4-on-4, Imperium versus Gallus and Dragunov. This is not something that I would have expected earlier this year, but I'm loving it. I mean, this is great.
Yeah.
This gang warfare.
All hard hitters. Obviously, it's basically brand supremacy between the two factions, and
it's faction supremacy, I guess. And yeah. I'm wondering where this is going to leave the two teams that were involved in this match. So obviously, the match was either thrown out or it was ruled
no contest or whatever. Yeah, or, but could, I mean, Fatal 4-Way tag match?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if, will Grizzled Young Veterans find two friends? Will Southwell Subculture find two friends?
Will they team up?
Will they team up to become their own, like, survival, like team up
four
to survive?
4-on-4?
Team up just to survive, right? I say put it in War Games.
I mean, I'm not against that at all. That could be fun.
They should just make the entire War Games card just all War Games matches. It would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd be game for that.
Be game for that. Be war.
That'd be so game.
Game for War Games.
Game so hard.
So, a lot going on with NXT UK, and it's always interesting to see how things are progressing when you're not sure yet, like, when the next big blow-off event for this company is, because we don't know when the next UK takeover is.
They haven't announced anything, and there's no rumors or nothing.
No, so we don't know, like, is it going to be, is it going to be in January again, because that was when the first UK takeover was Blackpool last year, or are they going to do it a different month? You know, what cities are they going to go to this time? There's still plenty of places throughout Russia. The UK that they in Russia take over Moscow.
Dude, that rolls off of the tongue. Let's be real. You know, Vladimir Kozlov come back.
Oh my God. I don't even know. Like, they could go to Dublin. They could go to. I don't think they've done NXT UK in London yet.
Oh, there's only been some takeovers.
Big one there. They could do. I mean, there's a lot of places they could go still. So we'll have to see. But that's kind of the interesting time is when you're building all these things up. But you don't know what, when the blow-off is going to be, or, like, if the blow-off is going to be on UK TV, or if it's going to be at a takeover. So, interesting stuff. So, let's run it down again next week. We got Xia Brookside and Kaylee Ray. Looking forward to that. Got a prediction, Lee?
I'm always with my homegirl, Xia.
I think I am,
She's
too.
She's adorable. She's blue.
She's blue. She's just blue. She's blue. She's like Mystique.
It's just like baby Mystique with baby blue hair.
She's awesome. Yeah, she's so likable. I'm going with her too. I think she's gonna. I don't think it's gonna be like a decisive win. I think it's gonna be like a roll up or something
where there's gonna be questions.
Yeah, or she's just gonna catch her out and it's gonna be like and that'll be kind of how we're off and running with that as a feud. Tyler Bate and Cash Asono.
I don't know how that's gonna go. I just got elbowed in the face. But, obviously, you gotta go for a big, strong boy, but I feel like Ono maybe will surprise him, so it'll go a little bit longer.
I don't think this is gonna be a one-and-done thing, so I'm gonna go with Cassius Ono next week. Perhaps under auspicious circumstances, but I think he's gonna take the win. And then Ligero and Travis Banks.
I'm gonna go for another draw. He's gonna fight forever.
I think it's gonna be a draw too. I was thinking that. I was gonna like
different way though. Maybe a double count out.
Yeah, or
double disqualification, or
yeah. Like, what if it gets heated? You know, like, what if all of a sudden
it's each other in the balls at the same time? I don't know. It'll be, I think, an indecisive victory, and we'll have to go for a third match, which I don't think anybody will complain about.
No, I don't think so either. And I think that the crowd reaction to a draw this time would be better because it'll be like, oh, that's the story now. Like, that's what we're going with. Whereas the first one, it was just, they just had a cold match. You know, just, oh, it's Ligero versus Banks, and then it ends in a double pin, and you're like, what? But if that's the consistent deal, I think the crowd reaction will be better. And I wonder if it's going to lead to either of them maybe adopting a little bit more of a villainous persona.
Get more desperate to get the win.
Yeah, especially because they've kind of made it clear that, you know, both of these guys kind of need a big win. So, interesting stuff coming. I do not know how many more shows from, well, they said Essex. I think Essex might be like the larger area and Brentwood is the actual city. But I should brush up a little bit more on my UK geography. But I don't know how many more shows there are from Brentwood, but I think there's one or two more. So we have more of this little tiny arena to look forward to, I think. Lee.
Yes.
Where can people find you on the socials?
LeeDX13, I think, on the twits.
On the twits?
Yeah. In the LeeGHDX13, and I think it's 40 on Instagram.
Yeah, so you got two different numbers.
You'll just see a bunch of hockey pictures if you find the right place.
Hockey and wrestling is basically the majority of your content on Twitter and Instagram.
Odd selfie to change it up, but it's not often.
And so the 13 and 40 obviously represent Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg.
Yep.
Which are two of your favorite Red Wings of all time.
Yep.
Two of my favorite Red Wings of all time. The Red Wings are Detroit's NHL team, for those
and
of you who are.
You guys in the UK should just adopt them as your favorite hockey team, even though they suck. Wait 2 years and then adopt them as your favorite hockey team.
But to be fair, they were amazing for like two decades.
Yeah.
We won 4 Stanley Cup championships in our lifetime. So, I mean, that's great. And we had like a 25-year playoff streak.
Yeah. For right now, just wait.
Hey, who doesn't love a plucky underdog, right?
Well, that's not plucky. There's nothing plucky.
Who
about
doesn't
it right now?
Love a dead, awful team that loses every night?
I mean, I can't disagree with that.
The Detroit Pistons are doing a little bit better. They're 4-5 right now. We dropped a game the other night to the Washington Wizards that we should have won, but we'll figure it out. I think they're still kind of figuring out what works in the lineup the right way. It'll be all right. You can follow me, Brent, the new host of We Are NXT UK. Follow me on social media at BrentFFF. The FFF stands for Far From Fiction. That's the band that I play some guitar in a little bit. You can listen to us on Apple Music and Spotify and Amazon and Google Play and all that other stuff. There's crap on YouTube or whatever. Follow the show at We Are NXT UK on Twitter and Instagram. That account is still operated by our good friend Kyle West.
And Kyle!
He's the one who founded this podcast and has trusted it in our hands for some reason. To keep it going and try to keep it happening and whatnot.
Hashtag positivity.
Exactly. We keep it positive here and We Are NXT UK. Lee, who was your superstar of the show between these two? The double shows, yeah. We start doing this every week. We're gonna do who was the superstar of the show? Who has had the most standout performance? But for the sake of this one, we're gonna combine it all these 2 weeks, these two shows.
I feel like it's a cop-out, but definitely Grizzled Young Vets. I absolutely adore them, even though they're dicks.
But nothing wrong with that.
No, but they put on a great match, as did Anders and Webster. It's never disappoints. Always fun matches.
Oh, yeah, these teams could go at it, like, you know, forever, and it would probably always be awesome. I mean, they just don't disappoint. I was tempted. I want to be like, oh, it's Rhea Ripley, because
gonna be my first pick, and then I was like, yeah,
everybody expects it. I'm thinking I might have to say Jordan Devlin though, because that's a huge win for him over Dave Mastiff, and I feel like that could be the catalyst for like a main event thing, but definitely like runner up to like Rhea Ripley, like awesome performance in that opening tag match. Thank you for listening, for sticking with us. Please talk to us about wrestling or other sports, but mostly wrestling, because that's what we're here for and we love it. There is just so much good wrestling out there right now with NXT UK, NXT, Raw and SmackDown. I like Raw and SmackDown. Fight me. I don't care. AEW is definitely providing entertaining content right now. AEW Dark is free on YouTube. NWA Power is free on YouTube. NWA Power is like a boomer, a Gen Xer, a millennial, and a zoomer all talking about how good the 80s are, but for all entirely different reasons. It's great. That's
okay, Robert.
there's Shimmer. Shimmer just ran a few shows in Chicago last weekend. Kimberly is the new Shimmer champion, ending Nicole Savoy's record-breaking run with Shimmer. There's Evolve. There's Shine. So much awesome wrestling. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And speaking of Shimmer and Shine, Shotzi Blackheart signed to NXT. So awesome.
Charlotte Boudreaux.
Yeah, Scarlett Bordeaux and Indy Hartwell also. So awesome pickups for NXT. I'm really looking forward to seeing all of them on NXT in the near future. This has been Lee and Brent on We Are NXT UK, and we will be back with you next time.